Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Moderno. Jihadi White will be joining me here in a minute. We're actually recording this during the Bucks game. The third quarter just ended. They're down 20-some points. Seemed like a reasonable enough time for us to just stop watching and knock out a bound cast, because realistically, what's going to change that much in the fourth quarter of a game where they're already down 23 points at the moment? So we're going to get to that sort of thing, what we're seeing from them now that they're leaning full into the tank, talk about lottery odds, things like that. Just a couple other news and notes, things that are going on with the Wizards that we haven't really gotten to. And we're going to get to some listener questions from a week or so ago that we weren't able to get to when we had to reschedule some stuff. So we'll hit all those things. As always, we're brought to you by our two lovely sponsors. If you would like to sponsor the Believe in Wizards podcast and hear your product or company or whoever talked about on the show, opportunity to do that. For all other Wizards fans to know about what you do and what you work on, reach out to me. Happy to talk to you guys about that and getting something going. I'm brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside hard iced teas, hard lemonades, hard Arnold Palmers. I guess that's a John Daly, right? So yeah, they're delicious. I don't know what else to say at this point. We're going to do an event at some point here, I think. I'm going to see if they'll bring some libations for us. We can have some cool drinks and hang out and do some cool stuff. And we can just kind of celebrate ourselves as a Wizards community and all that we're willing to endure and that we still have each other, I guess, is probably a worthwhile thing for us to all celebrate at this point. So we'll get them to hook us up for that one, hopefully, and help spread the word about their wonderful product. And as someone who does enjoy a good adult beverage, I promise you, I would not lead you astray and talk about something being good if it wasn't. So that's the Matt Moderno guarantee. Also brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting needs this season. All of that is over, but you can place a prop bet on who's going to win next year's national championship, who will start the year number one in the country, that kind of thing. So you can get analysis of every play, prop, and point at BetOnline. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds for everything from live games, conference championships, right through to the Final Four and championship game. Again, OBE, but you can do that next year. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device and sign up to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEV, BLEAV, to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Okay, with that, let's bring in Jihadi, and we'll just start having a fun convo about the Wizards and getting ready for the offseason here, essentially, which, hey, draft talk. I always love that shit. Unfortunately, it's relevant as a Wizards fan every year. So, hey, let's just lean into it. Hopefully it makes a difference. And we can all sell ourselves on the fact that this one magical draft pick, if the ping pong balls just bounce right, maybe this is the thing that will save our team and actually bring us joy next year. So we'll see. All right, let's get to it. All right, as always, my pleasure to bring in Jihadi White. Jihadi, how's it going? How's your week? What's up?
Matt, my man, what's up, baby?
I'm excited to be doing this, and it's nice to be able to wrap this up toward the end of a long, long Wizard season. I don't know how it felt as a player, but 82 games just covering the team feels like a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I think we're more worn out as fans than the players are.
Yeah, I believe it. It's at least more fun if you're on the court, right?
Right. Yep.
They're 34-44. At the time of this recording, they're actually midway through the fourth quarter, and they're losing to the Bucks because they're not playing anybody, and the Bucks want to win that game still. So they're going to be 34-45 by the time anyone realistically listens to this, with three games left to go. Essentially, they're kind of in a fight right now with Orlando for who has the seventh or eighth best odds in the lottery. There are a couple other teams in their range. Like, if they lost out and another team won a game or two, Orlando's probably going to lose to Cleveland right now, it looks like. So seventh or eighth seems probably the most likely scenario here. I guess as a player, how aware do you think guys are of this kind of stuff? Is it even on their radar while they're playing these games? Now, I'm not saying honestly, they're trying to lose games to get a better pick or anything, but just like, do you even pay attention to that, or is it just something you tune out?
It depends on what caliber of player you are.
Okay.
Right. So if you're the Bills or you're the Kuzmas or the Porzingis, right? Mm-hmm. You understand, like, okay, this is where we're going.
Yeah.
So it's probably better we do sit and rest our bodies just for next year, because it's an unwritten law, or the word came from somewhere that we need to tank some games,
mm-hmm.
right? So now those guys understand that.
Sure.
The other guys that are playing, they don't care. They don't give a crap at all, right? And it doesn't matter to them. They get an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They want to light up the scoreboard.
Yep, makes sense. You've got Johnny Davis out there right now, the rookie who struggled for most of the year, even had a really bad stretch in the G League struggling, but he's actually looked okay. Like, he still looks a little scared maybe at times offensively, but he's like trying to guard dudes, and I've seen him like dive for a loose ball. Like, the energy and the hustle is there. I think those are things you can always control. So I'm just hopeful with like an offseason of skill development and stuff, maybe things like slow down for him a little bit, and we'll see at least like a serviceable rotation player next year. Is that realistic, you think?
It is, but you got to see more than just these games with these players.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, okay, they're getting opportunities. They're full of vinegar, you know, and yeah, and Red Bull, you know.
Right.
And so you're going to get a player. You're going to get 115% right now.
Yep.
Let me see how you plan out play. You know, are you still going to give me that exact amount of energy and go all out in this, sure, you know, at game 20?
Mm. Makes sense.
You know, right. So they are right now, they know it's end of season. They finally just now really getting a chance to really,
yep,
play like they're. First of all, Johnny Davis will not take these many shots.
That's very true. Yep.
In a regular game with everybody out there.
I think he's probably okay with that, given how scared he's looked to shoot the ball half the time, too.
But he's not, I mean, against the Knicks, he wasn't.
No, that's true. That's probably the most comfortable I've seen him look
right.
in actual NBA minutes.
So what Johnny Davis is showing us is what he can do.
Yeah.
The thing is, will he do it on a consistent basis? You know, once you get in the rhythm and everybody has to get their shot and
sure,
you start feeling your NBA self. Now, are you still going to put that crazy amount of effort you're putting in now, you know, just balls to the wall effort? And if so, great.
He's probably, I don't have it in front of me, he probably played 30 G League games this season, which is about a college season. So I'm sure he's not like fresh, but he's much fresher than the guys he's playing against right now on these other teams that are 90 games into the year when you consider preseason and things like that. How much of a difference is that for someone like him? Like, just, you know, to have fresher legs, I guess.
It's fresh legs are everything.
Yeah.
Fresh legs are everything. I mean, any player can tell you. Have you ever seen a person who could jump out the gym? You mm-hmm. know they can jump out the gym. And you like mid-season, you're like, he's just not giving. Is he not giving us what he's supposed to be giving us? No. His legs are literally noodles.
Right.
His legs are literally noodles right now. And he's sitting after every game, after every practice, he's sitting in the cold whirlpool full of ice, just trying to get at least 25% of his legs back.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why players work on their game so much, because you cannot sustain throughout an entire NBA season just having that much thrust and, you know.
The bounce isn't going to be there at this point.
It's not there. So when you got a guy with fresh legs and he looked like he's outrunning everybody, out jumping everybody, his instincts are quicker than everybody, his reflexes are way on point than everybody else. That's only because, first of all, he's super excited. Secondly, he's not worn down yet.
It's his turn, and he's not going to get yanked because the leash isn't the same anymore.
He can't get
play free. Yeah.
No leash.
There's nobody else to put in at this point when you have Beal, Monte, Kuzma, Porzingis, all those guys sitting out. Denny.
And he knows it. But also, he's still playing against the best players.
That's true, yeah.
You know, so he's saying, I score. They're not looking to stop him like they're looking to stop the top guys, you know, your top starting five guys.
Sure.
But it's there's not no a scout over. Report on him.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, he's playing in the NBA. And he's playing against some great players, and he's lighting it up.
The Bucks are still playing a decent amount of their roster, and as of this recording, he's got, 11 points, I think, and it looked decent enough. I do think what you just said, though, about the legs and those things is really important, because every year we see this guy who plays in the final 10 games, and he looks like an all-star or something, and it's like, oh, how is that guy not getting minutes the whole season? And then we wonder why they can't replicate it next year, and it's that sort of end of season fool's gold. And there's always a couple of these guys, and I think we as Wizards fans especially are just so desperate to have hope for next season that it's like, oh, you know, Denny picking back up again, Gafford got 15-7 against Giannis right now, like, and we take those things, and I'm not saying that those guys have been productive NBA players, but you know what I mean, like guys that come in, that even Johnny Davis, like we haven't seen him all year, and now he's got 15 points on the Knicks or whatever, and it does the night, like we talk ourselves into them based on this short sample size.
Well, he's playing free. It's easy to play free when there's no guy you have to make sure they get their touches. It's easy to play free. When the guy's playing free, they can, you know, it's like schoolyard ball. They can right now, as crazy as it is, Johnny Davis can actually break a play.
Yeah. That's awesome. He probably loves that. It's going back to the Wisconsin days already.
Where does that happen in the season ever?
Right. That's true.
He can break a play and try to break a play during regular season. The coach won't even get on you.
Yeah. Brad's going to be down your throat. Back in the back of the head.
Kuzma going to be down your throat. Right. Right. So those guys have to get their touches. And then now you also now have to play in the scheme of defense, knowing that while you're on the court, most time all of your points are going to be trash points.
Hustle, broken play, stuff, you know.
Right. Yeah. Everything right. So he gets to be that guy. And he's showing you, hey, all right, let me show him. And he has something to prove.
Yep.
That's the main thing. Every guy out there has a lot to prove. Nothing is guaranteed.
I don't want to be hyperbolic here or too dramatic, but he's maybe had the worst rookie season of any lottery pick that's really been healthy for most of the year and played in recent memory. And I'm not trying to kill him, because we've been very nice to him on this pod overall, but he's got a lot to prove. And I think that's probably been a weight on his shoulders as the season's gone on. So to see him play a little free right now is just refreshing as a fan, because he seems like a nice dude. I'm hopeful that like he can take something meaningful from this, and maybe this is at least more of the guy we'll get next year.
Right. It's not that he doesn't know how to play. We've seen him play. We've seen him in college.
You don't win Big Ten Player of the Year on accident.
Yeah, you don't win it on accident. It just sometimes a lot of times you see these players and you think they come in and think they're terrible or not, you think they don't show up to the caliber of what you expected them to be. Mm-hmm. And then they go to a different program, a different system. They blossom.
Yeah.
It's everything is very systematic when it comes to the type of player you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And the right opportunities with the right personnel, and do they set you up?
A lot of factors going, go into it.
And by all accounts, given where they finished for the year or will finish for the year, he will have another lottery pick joining him. It would be really hard for them to end up with probably less than a top 10 pick. I will knock on wood. You can hear it on this podcast. Hopefully I don't jinx us. But like I said, they're likely to finish 7th or 8th. If they, let's say 8th is worst case scenario, realistically, probably the worst they could end up is with the 10th pick. So if you have the 8th best odds, there's a 31% chance that you would drop to 9th, which is still pretty big that you could fall in the draft. Only a 6% chance of falling to the 10th pick. And then there's a 0.4% chance that they could drop to 11th. I know Wizards fans are anarchists and assuming that we'll end up with worst case scenario here, but mathematically, you're probably not going to fall worse than 10th at this point. So you have Johnny Davis is the top 10 pick. Avdija was a top 9. He was the 9th pick, so another top 10 pick. You're adding another top 10 pick into the fold here. And honestly, with those odds, like let's say they finish 7th, which would is probably realistically best case scenario here, I think, where they're going to end up. They have a 29.3% chance of ending up with a top 4 pick. That's not inconsequential. I think that's why you and I were talking about this last podcast. Like, it's so important for them to not win these last couple games. Like, it makes a big difference mathematically. Even just the difference between 7th and 8th, like a 30% shot at winning up with somewhere in the top 4, that's pretty good. Like, I'll take that.
Yeah, right now, we're in the reverse playoffs. Call it the, we call it the layoffs.
The race for the bottom. Yeah, there
you go. The layoffs. And it's, and everybody, that's major because you don't realize how between 4 and 7.
It's huge.
It's huge. I mean, that's a lot of space. That's a lot of talent that may, just the tier of talent between those two spaces are major. Unless sometimes you get that one that you that surprise,
yeah, it
right?
It happens, but. Yeah.
Right, but me personally, we need to. I hate to say it, especially coming from me playing, sure. But as a fan wise, it's tough, man. But we need that. We absolutely need that, and we need somebody. We need some young blood.
I need a game change, like a real dynamic player to throw into the mix here.
Need some dynamic, young blood, acrobatic, quick, fast. Yeah. Somebody who can slash in the paint, somebody who can see, 360, 180 degrees. Mm. We need that player. I mean, we have our best players are some vets. Mm-hmm. Right now, the teams with the best record, a lot of their best players are
still young.
New guys.
Yeah.
New guys.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I think ESPN, I want to say, was the one who put this out, but they ranked, I want to say the Wizards finished with the bottom, like the worst young core in the NBA. I mean, like one top 4 pick here could really kind of change that math really quick for them. Like if you add somebody really dynamic and you hit big on this pick, I'm not saying it suddenly makes them a top 4 seed or I'm not trying to go crazy, but just from how your young group is like viewed around the league, that changes the perspective a lot, I think.
Yeah, I think that stat that you're reading, I feel like it's because our young guys, I don't feel like we have bad picks.
No, sure.
Feel like they're too much robots. They're too much in a system. They're too much role players, mm-hmm. right? It's not enough room for our new guys to come in to get loose.
Yeah, makes
sense. It's not that space. It's that avenue isn't there.
You're not getting the huge usage that you would get on some bottom team with a lot of other young guys.
Exactly.
They have 3 games left, as we mentioned. They play the Hawks on Wednesday night, the Heat on Friday night. Realistically, could be two losses for the, from them right there. And their last game is against the Rockets on Sunday. That's the 9th of April at 1 p.m. That might be the ugliest basketball game played all year. Neither of these teams will want to win that game and shouldn't want to win that game. So not that the
young guys. How does that work?
Yeah, somebody's got to win that one.
That's one you throw up the tip ball and no one touches it.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody backs away from the circle at right. that point.
Keep away.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I mean, the young guys will play hard on both teams, I'm sure, but it's just, it's not going to be like high level NBA basketball at the very least. So I think realistically, they probably walk out of here 1-2 down the stretch. And that would mean that they're, you know, that's a 35 win season. And I think the over underline from Vegas at the beginning of the year was 35.5. So I'm always amazed like how Vegas does this shit every year. Like they're always within a game. It's wild.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Jump into the world of Wildcrats at Philadelphia's Please Touch Museum. Explore the world of this PBS Kids series in the Wildcrats Creature Power Museum exhibit, opening May 31st. Discover animal habits from around the world as you swing through the trees like a spider monkey, sneak through the forest like a jaguar, hunt for lunch like a platypus, and much more in this adventurous new exhibit. Get tickets at pleasetouchmuseum.org. That's pleasetouchmuseum.org.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself.
What would kids do?
Dance to a giant organ played by ocean waves? Yep. Camp in floating tree houses hundreds of feet off the ground? Check. Jump in a big tub of mud on purpose? Call it rejuvenation. We don't care. Just pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
So, hey, it's always, listen, no, only way that can happen is inside information.
Yeah, right. There's something going on there. I mean, yeah, come on, man. And,
I mean, look at the, just mentioning that, look at the situation. I meant to bring this up. I know it's not on the subject.
All good.
But that's the situation Brad is in. Mm-hmm. And it's my question to you. How about I be the interviewer right now?
I like it.
How do you feel now that sports betting is legal in the NBA?
The NBA players I have known and been around are very, very competitive people. I personally don't have any, like, expectations that there's going to be any shenanigans going on at this point in the world. It'd be too easy for that stuff to get out and point shaving and things like that. But it's just a weird look. And now you've got Ted Leonsis with the first sports book attached to a stadium in the NBA. He wants in arena gambling where, you know, your chair will have a little betting thing on it and you can place a live bet. And now a player could own part of that share of that casino or the sports book or whatever. Like it could get weird and could get kind of ugly. That's kind of where I'm at. I don't think guys will, like, it'll get messy too much, but it might look bad for a while. You know, if you have Brad have a season like he did 2 years ago or beginning of last year where he was really struggling to shoot the ball, you know, like, it's some of those inexplicable things that just happen in sports. People might question them a little bit more.
Yeah. I feel like it completely changes the trajectory of an NBA fan, right? So as from a player's perspective, we deal with hecklers.
Sure.
We deal with people who really get upset if their team loses or okay, and I get that. Right. And sometimes that gets out of hand. But then now you're bringing people in that's not fans, they're gamblers. Right. So if my team loses, if my team loses, I'm very upset. I'm highly upset, cussing and fussing. But if I lose $2,000 and I can't feed my kids tomorrow.
And my bookie's coming after me, you know, like not bookie anymore, but
My bookie's coming, all this. I'm taking it completely differently on a team or on a specific player or right. And then you end up with situations like Brad is in, a person who loves the game. And you're coming at me about what you lost in a bet. That's the most offensive thing, a person who worked hard their entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Why would I care about your bet?
Or my fantasy team. I always love that one. You know?
And so that's the problem. Now, those guys are now not in Vegas or not in the casinos anymore. Yeah. They're now in the arenas.
Yeah. They feel like they've invested in the game. And now that they have some greater, you know, they have some greater ability to come in, or they deserve more opportunity to yell at the players and stuff.
They feel like they're obligated, that you're obligated to owe them something.
Right. You win my bet for me.
It's 10 times more personal.
But add on this layer too. The new CBA now says that players can be involved in sports books and gambling and betting websites. So now I'm this fan. I'm already mad at Bradley Beal that he lost this bet, and I find out he has some percentage stake in the Caesar sports book that I just lost this money in, or Bet Online sponsors him or whatever. Like, this just ratchets up how weird sports is about to get over the next couple of years, I think.
It's mess around and be WWE.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to turn out to not be actually basketball. Yeah. It's going to be a performance. It's going to be acting.
I just think the optics of that are so bad. I get it. I don't want to prevent any player from making money on something he can make money on.
I don't agree with it.
It's legal for them to be involved in things like cannabis companies now and stuff, which I'm all for.
That's fine.
Yeah. But
if you're for it or you're not for it.
Sure. Make your money.
But you know? I think the players should not be, me personally, that's the worst thing you can do is now involve the players in it.
People will question the integrity of the game, and you've already had one referee that took money for, you know, doing that kind of stuff, and it's people will speculate about players and stuff now too. I don't like the implication of that. Not that I think players would actually, you know, take money to throw games and stuff, but you never know.
It depends. Oh, so look, the thing about, all right, if you're a player in the NBA, the thing on most players off time, their main thing is what?
Being on the internet, video games.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
What is gambling?
Really?
They okay. Gamble all the time. I mean, it's the competitive edge. It's the still competitive fuel that drives most players to even become the best player they can and be an NBA player.
It's the reason you had guns in the locker room here in DC. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Think about the best players. MJ loves to gamble. Charles Barkley loves to gamble, right? Everybody on the plane plays cards. It's a pile of money.
Yep.
Right.
And people take that seriously, right?
It's been fights over. I mean, think about the history of the Wizards.
Yep. You got Gilbert and Javaris. Yep. Yep.
Right? It's all because of gambling.
Yep.
So now you know these players are very competitive. And now you're going to put this in their hands?
That's a great point. I honestly hadn't thought of it until you brought it up this way. At the very worst case scenario, or probably best case scenario, it just looks messy. Whether it is or not, it looks bad. And I don't know why you set yourself up for that as the NBA. And the players must have advocated for it really hard to get that.
And once you do it to one sport, it's going to go to another sport. Imagine that in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. It'd be brutal.
I mean, imagine, come on. It's going to be hard. Now, think about a coach who had, think about every coach who now has to, you know, winning is his job.
Mm-hmm.
And now you add that element onto it, too. It's already enough for the coaches anyway.
Yeah. And if you have a player who goes through a real cold streak inexplicably, you're like, are you questioning what the guy's doing? Like,
right.
Oh, all right. That's a little bit depressing. But hopefully we're still a ways away from having to worry about that. I don't know when all that kicks into effect here or who the first domino will be of people to get out there. Circling back.
Be some regulations with it.
I hope so. Yeah, that's where you need a strong commissioner to be there and have rules in place and very strict situations. Maybe there's some fine print we don't know about. I'm hopeful at the very least. If the Wizards end up with the seventh best odds, we'll stick with the math here of different kind of gambling here and the lottery. If they have the seventh best odds, that means they have a 7% chance or 6.8% chance at the first pick, 7.1% chance at the second, 7.5% at third, 7.9% at fourth. The team who's finished in seventh in multiple lotteries has moved up. So something about seventh seems like the lucky pick. There's always like one team in that range that jumps in the draft. I just hope they can hang on for that particular spot. And I don't know, just pray we get a little luck. Jahani, I would be so excited going into next year with the third pick versus the ninth pick. Like it'll change a lot.
I would too. I would definitely be excited. We got to pick the right guy.
You got
to
pick the right guy.
You have to be the right pick, sure. You know. So
you could probably sell me on any of those guys in that range.
Oh, no. Now, the thing is, it can go both ways, right? You can pick a player who definitely excited and they can fill the seats up,
mm-hmm.
you know, but still got to get some wins out of there. You know, yeah, I'm sure. Like, what do you think about the Paris guy, Wembanyama? Wembanyama.
I'm curious to get your take on someone who has played the position he will likely eventually play in the NBA. I would always be hesitant. There are more stories of guys 7'3" and above ending up with serious foot, lower body injuries and things like that. But the thing that's been interesting with him is his team, air quotes around him, not the Metropolitan's 92 team he's playing for, but his people and agents and all those things have had this very well thought out plan for how to manage and develop his body slowly over time so that he puts on weight and strength and muscle in the right ways and the right places in the right time. And they've had leading sports, you know, physiologists talk about like how to build him the right way. I think he's going to be a really interesting test case for all the next 7 foot plus guys. And there are things that they learned from like Porzingis' own situation about how he's been healthier and better dropping 20 pounds as opposed to putting on 20 and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So I think if he stays healthy, I've never seen a guy anywhere near that big who can like break someone down off the dribble, hit a step back three, and then crash to the hoop, catch his own miss and dunk it. You know, like he's a video game character.
He is. He is. But he seems like the truth. He has a lot of skills.
Yep.
And if it was maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I would say he's too light.
Mm.
Right? He's too light. He's too light for the NBA. He's too, you know, his body's too thin. He's too, you know, he's a rail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not the league is not so physical anymore. So if he has good instincts, he can run the floor. He can put a ball on the floor. I think he can be a good look. I don't know how well he'll fit our system or the players.
With the Wizards specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're not a high, a fast paced,
agreed,
go up and down team.
Yep.
Makes right. Sense. So with him, it just kind of, I feel like it's just the same type of ball.
Yep.
Right.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I think worst case scenario, He's a big dude that could protect the rim a little bit. He can move his feet well enough for someone that big, and he can shoot it. So even if you put him as a four offensively, he could still probably space it for you a little bit. So I agree with you.
You
could go five out, exactly. Him and Porzingis might be an interesting fit here, but I think that's a problem I would happily take and figure out over the alternative.
I don't know if I want him and Porzingis out there together. Now, one thing,
you could move on from Porzingis at that point. And
I don't think you move on because Porzingis can light up the scoreboard.
I don't mean right away, but you let Wembanyama learn from Porzingis for a couple years, and then that's your transition longer term, maybe.
Yeah. If Porzingis protected the rim, you have two great rim protectors, you know, but I don't know. It wouldn't be the quickest team, the fastest team.
So, again, they've been pretty good. The percentage they give up around the rim is not good, but they've been good at deterring people from taking shots around the rim with he and Gafford. So I give them some credit for that. But the rebounding is what worries me more than anything.
Yes.
Porzingis has not had a double-digit rebounding game in the last month, like one whole month of NBA basketball. That's kind of hard to do when you're that big. I remember the Charles Barkley quote talking about before he was with the Wizards, but how are you 7 feet tall and play 35 minutes and 10 rebounds don't fall into your lap? Like,
right.
For Porzingis being that big, I get that he's further away from the basket, but you can't be having 3-4 rebound games. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
I feel like rebounding is not a priority to him.
Sure.
Yeah. But
he's had games where he's blown up and had 17, but just lately.
Yeah, he just had one. He had 13, right? 13, 15. Didn't he have a lot against the Knicks? He had double digits against the Knicks.
You could be right. Let me double check.
11 something. If I'm not mistaken, he had double digits against the Knicks.
Porzingis did not play the Knicks game.
No, the Celtics. Celtics.
Yeah, Celtics game. He was actually pretty darn good in. You're right. 13 rebounds in that one. Okay, so I'm wrong. He's had one double-digit rebounding game in the last month of NBA basketball. So good catch. Still, like I need eight from him. You know, like a minimum.
13 is nothing for him.
Yeah, it should be.
I mean, he should average at least 14, 15 a game.
We've seen him have stretches where he goes for 17 or 20 or things like that.
I mean, he's 7 foot 17.
He feels a lot bigger than a lot of these guys, but it's being that far away from the hoop as a stretch big. And I think maybe the high center of gravity, people push him away too easily from the rim.
I'm not taking it. I'm not buying it.
Fair enough. I'm with you.
It's not a priority for him. Scoring.
Sure.
He wants to light up the basket. Because in the end of the day, he's going to get paid more for putting the ball in the basket than he is going to be from grabbing the ball off the rim.
Yep. I'm with you.
Hate to say it.
And honestly, Gafford been kind of an underwhelming rebounder, unless he, like you've mentioned, has certain matchups. But honestly, Denny and Kuzma are probably their two best rebounders. And when those two aren't out there, like you notice kind of a drop off for them. So
True. We're not a great. And that's what kills us, because we do not get a lot of second chance opportunities.
So I'm curious about this. I know NBA teams now almost tell at least four of the five guys, they don't want them to offensive rebound. I don't know when that changed, but there's a lot of, we're less likely to get an offensive rebound. We want you to get back because we're more likely to give up points in transition defense. So they're trying to cut off those free points at the expense of getting their own free points. But usually teams are still sending at least one guy to the glass to try to do something. I don't feel like I see the Wizards really send anybody that frequently, at least.
I mean, I've heard three guys crash, two back.
Sure, something like that. I think but that the math the is
game
changed.
Now is it's a three-point game, so it's right. All long boards.
Yep.
Right, so it's a lot of long boards, which means it can take off. It can blow out on you right away. You know, so you got to have a lot of guys back. But I don't know if I would trade that off for not getting any second chance possession opportunities. I just don't know. It's a
somewhere somebody with a calculator and a spreadsheet has said that the analytics behind
the problem is the calculator and the spreadsheet.
I get it. Like I get why they do that, and there probably is something that mathematically, but I also think there's like an inherent value of I got a big offensive rebound and I dunked it on you, and the boost you get from that is more than just the 2 points sometimes. I don't know how you quantify those things, but
yeah, but it's a 3 point. The game has changed. It's a three pointers league now, right? And with the calculator and the spreadsheet, it says the percentage of 3 point shots that are missed. You know, at least the rebound would be mostly like 10 feet and out.
I totally get it. Like I make jokes that I pick journalism because I didn't like math, but I've done enough advanced math classes in my life. I do it for a job. I totally understand the impetus for going that way. It's just not as fun for me as somebody who grew up liking basketball a certain way to see it that way. So I don't enjoy it as much.
It's tough to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's just a lot of hurling.
Yep.
It's a lot of hurling. Like it was fun to see a guy on the perimeter get to the rim in one dribble.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not a million dribbles, but trying to find out how he can break you down to get down to the rim, right? Yeah. Right? And so the game has become more and one mixtape.
Especially to close games, you've got so much ISO ball and stuff like that that it breaks down. I see ISO ball.
I see a lot of carrying. I see a lot of traveling.
So that was an emphasis from the NBA to the referees early in the year. And they were calling guys on carries all the time. And I was like, thank you. If someone's hand is directly under the ball and they flip it over, I want that to be called. But we're back to like, that's not a thing that they're going to call at this point in the season.
It's the game either way, because everybody is training that way now. The hezzy.
Yep.
The hezzy with the act like you're about to shoot and you pause for a millisecond and then go dribble again. That's a very questionable move.
Someone got me with that playing pickup literally last night, showed it to me, served it up, had palm under the ball. I swiped at it, then he brought it back down and dribbled and went past me. And I was like,
That's definitely carry.
It was like a 2 second delay. Right. But he saw it on TV. So got away.
Hey.
All right. We'll sound a little bit less like old men shaking our fists at things and move on to another.
Well, you know it. I start talking about rap music and how it sounds.
I'm with you there on that one too. Listening to some of the stuff in the arena, I'm like, I don't even know who this is anymore. But anyway.
I have young kids, so they keep me young. They keep me abreast on new artists. But you know, after a while, I have to go and put in some LL.
Exactly right.
Right.
My wife is the hip one in our house. I guess she hears it all on TikTok. So, and she works with elementary school kids, so she'll know more of the young stuff than I will at this point. All right, we sound 100. Let's move it here. Tommy Shepard has said he wants to bring in former Wizard Center Marcin Gortat on the coaching staff permanently, and says that the ex-center's presence is, quote, everything to me, which seemed extreme. Gortat has joined the team a couple different stints this year as a temporary coaching assistant. So he'll be here for 2 weeks, then go away for a month, 10 days, that kind of thing. He was known for setting screens that everybody effectively called the Gortat screen, which is basically, honestly, kind of a moving screen, to be honest with you. And just starting with that, Daniel Gafford never got called for moving screens. And now all of a sudden, after 1 year of working with Gortat, a guy who set moving screens, we now see Gafford get called for those on a pretty regular basis. At what point is it like, hey, that worked for him 10 years ago. It doesn't work in the NBA anymore. It's a less physical league. You can't hip check somebody and get away with it. It just doesn't seem like that coaching has been particularly impactful for us in a positive way thus far, at least on the screen setting side.
I disagree.
Okay.
So, because you see that screen all the time. Draymond does it all the time.
Our guy's getting called for it, though, is all I'm
saying. Right, I'm just saying. Some people are getting away with it.
Sure.
I think the issue is
when how you sell it? I mean,
like, no, the issue is you can't be there and then not be there.
Okay.
Right. If I'm coming in as a coach for 2 weeks and leaving, and now another player is messing up on something, and then I don't show up for another month or so, he's going to mess up on that thing that
he can't correct it with them.
You can't correct it until the month when I come back, until you like, hey, oh, as soon as I see it, I can pinpoint it, kept corrected.
So I don't think it's valuable to have him short term, right?
I think it's so. It's great for a coach to think you're the seventh wonder of the world,
right? Yeah, right. Right? No.
But so he needs to understand that. I mean, for somebody in the organization to think that about you, so he needs to understand that because everybody don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So secondly, it's with all of the player development guys and, you know, all of the coaches now and everything, no one's really a big anymore, right? No one, you still have big men in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who coaches
and
them?
It's impossible for me to have played 3, 2, and 1 and pick out things that my big is doing wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, just because I've never experienced it in my life. Right. No matter how much I know about this game, I can tell them, but it's going to be so many things that I'm going to miss because I haven't, because it's always the little small things, the micro moves that are undetected.
And I'm more likely to listen to somebody who's got personal experience doing it.
Right. Gortat will see that.
Yeah.
Right away.
Sure.
But only way he can fix it is that he sees it every game, every time it happens, in every practice, right? Then, okay, then you can say, then you can really see how effective it is. Then Gafford may end up being a better player. Yeah. But who knows? Because there's no one to help Gafford out with all the things he's doing. I see all type of things that I'm like, man.
If he
just did this, or he needs to stop doing that. If he does this, which no one would ever see. No one even would ever detect. Gortat definitely detected. Because as bigs, what we do is teach our game, right? Like that Gortat screen, right, is, I think it still would be effective. And I don't, say for instance, if they start calling it, oh, he could say, okay, then that's
here's how you tweak, yeah.
That's how you tweak it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How you tweak it, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
And obviously he's going to see 10 times more things than just that screen, but teach it.
Yeah.
That's incorporated big time.
When they mentioned that James Posey would be joining the coaching staff, I got really excited because there's been kind of a lack of former players on this particular staff. And obviously Wes Unseld Jr. has been around the game for forever and played, I think, at the D3 level at Hopkins, but it's still not the same as having that direct on-court NBA experience, I don't think, personally. You can tell me if I'm wrong there. But just having some guy actively engaged that I know I've seen play in an NBA game as a player, I think would mean something to me.
I think so. I mean, first of all, when James Posey ended up being on the staff, I was excited. If people who don't know, he's a brilliant basketball mind. I think he's one of pretty much the top basketball minds. I think him, as a player-wise, it's between him and Rondo.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome.
Right. In my perspective.
Yeah.
Right. We need to get more basketball guys because they can. It's a difference between like crunching numbers,
sure,
and knowing the feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's a difference between knowing the fit. I can read a recipe and I can make what this recipe is, but it's a difference between that chef who just made that meal off touch and feel, and it's going to be two different tastes and dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the same thing as when you have NBA players, you know, not all of them,
sure,
but the ones who, the high IQ, great feel, the ones who've been leaders,
yep,
your coaching staff should be more percentage of them than not.
I think the smart teams and the successful teams have been the ones that find the right balance and marriage of the two. Like, how do you take what we're seeing in the numbers and apply that to certain things and to make subtle tweaks, and then you have the players help you fix things on the court? Like, there seemed to be a better balance here, whereas most of the Wizards staff of the 12 guys, it's 11 non-players and one player. Like, it just, that to me seems totally out of whack.
Basketball has become too scientific. I mean, it's just, that's not what that, I mean, I get it. Yeah. We want to make money, but that's not the game. That's not the essence of the game of basketball.
Yeah. You know what? I'm all for
it. When I was on the blacktop, I wasn't out there crunching numbers. You know, when I'm running a play, I'm not drawing up. I'm not doing math problems.
Yep. It's not poker where you can play the percentages on stuff in real time. Yeah. I do think that some of that stuff has led to basketball being overly scripted, especially at the college level.
Why basketball looked like it looks now. Just a lot of threes curling everywhere.
Yep. And you see guys that aren't willing to like freelance on their own and can't problem solve some things in real time. And then they show up to the NBA and it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm all for more former players. I'm with you. I don't think you can be particularly effective coming in for a week or two here or there at a time. So I personally would love to see someone else full-time on the staff that has some Wizards experience. I don't know. I don't know if you have any interest in doing that at some point here when the kids are a little older, but I would happily like to see, you know, someone from your era team on the Wizards too that could come in and, you know, the area, you know, the team, you know, the franchise, you know, the history, you know, the fan base, like just more representation from these previous Wizards teams is something I think a lot of fans would be interested in too. Like, it'd be cool to look at the bench and say, hey, Jahi, he's one of us, you know?
Right. I'm here. Look at that.
Where are you at, Tommy? sticking with that for one second, if I've got this right, you are going to be at a Wizards game here very soon, right?
I'll be there on the...
Is that Friday?
Friday. I'll be there Friday.
Okay. So there is for anyone not familiar with this, who was on the fence about going to the Wizards game, it's Friday, April 7th at 7 p.m. against the Miami Heat. The Wizards will hold a fan appreciation and 90s-themed pregame party at the Michelob Ultra Lounge at the new District E event. It's from 5:30 to 7. The pregame party will feature exclusive giveaways and numerous specials, custom airbrushed trucker hats for the first 150 fans, photo booth, and then the real treat here. Assuming this list is still current, it'll be you, Jahadi. Tracy Murray is supposed to be joining you, and my guy Larry Hughes will also be there as well. So, two of my favorites there. I'm bummed I'm going to be out of town, or I would definitely try to come.
Oh man, I was hoping you were going to be there.
I was hoping so too, man. Mrs. and I are going on a little vacation while she's got some spring break.
I'm sure that's much needed.
It's definitely that point of the year. So, I also missed the last couple games in person.
We'll get a little bit of paradise.
You know what? We're done. The season's effectively over here. Time to get a little break. So I'm bummed I'm going to miss you, but everybody listening to this, obviously still plenty of opportunity to go and check that out. Say hi to my guy here and mention you like the show. I think that'll go over well in front of the rest of the Wizards folks too.
Oh, it definitely will.
All right. Before we close out here, I just got a couple of rapid fire-y kind of questions I want to throw your way. Will Clayton asked, what is the vibe like in a locker room when players know that the season is effectively over, but there's still a handful of games left? Like, just how's everybody mentally in that kind of situation?
Everybody's different. You know, it depends on the type of player.
Okay.
If you're a vet and you've been around the league for a while, you want it, it's kind of a bad, miserable time because you've seen it all.
Yeah.
To the point that now your goal is to make the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. You're setting goals for yourself, for your team as a leader, your teammates to make the playoffs. So when you get to that point where it's guaranteed won't come in fruition,
mm-hmm.
you can only put the pressure on yourself and say, I failed my team, I failed myself, I failed the coaching staff, I failed the organization. That guy hates it.
Is it hard not to mentally check out at that point? Like, I mean, do you have to kind of like give yourself some extra motivation to keep pushing?
It's a lot of decisions you have to make. I mean, you're already thinking about next year. You're already thinking about, do I need to switch something up and up? Do I need, is this place still for me? Mm-hmm. What didn't I do? I mean, you're kicking yourself. You're beating yourself. This time, if you're that guy, you're beating yourself up. Because in the end of the day, no matter what, it all falls on you.
Yeah,
right? So that guy's back. That guy, you know, has it hard. But he get paid the biggest bucks to have it that way, right? Sure. The person who get paid the most have the most responsibility.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. I'm cool with that.
Young guys, they're enjoying it. It's just a fun fest right now for them. You know, they get to actually play a lot of ball, you know, get to, knowing that season's over, planning their trips, you know.
Right.
So
Cancun's coming up, baby.
Mid-tier guys, you know, they're really trying to still figure out, you know, they're in the middle of trying. They don't take the mid-tier guys, don't take the heat, but they don't like the results.
Sure. That makes sense.
Right. So they can still enjoy the season ending. Mm-hmm. It might be disappointing in how it is, you know, but
not as extreme for them, maybe.
The heat is not on them. Yeah. So, right. So that's pretty much how it works.
That's cool. Yeah, it makes sense. Ben Becker wants to know who you grew up rooting for from an NBA perspective. And do you think that St. Louis could ever support an NBA expansion team?
I grew up rooting for the Lakers. Okay. I was big time Lakers against the Celtics fan, you know. Magic Johnson was my favorite player. I can Cooper,
sure.
Byron Scott, Worthy. You know, me and my father would watch every Lakers game. You know, I think that's the probably most memorable times I really had. I had a lot of them, but that right there, you know, that's when we love watching the Lakers together. So Lakers were my favorite team, man. So, and I'm still a big Lakers fan, you know. Can St. Louis support a NBA team? I would love for them to have one. Can they support one? Honestly, I don't think so. It's not a basketball town, right? Anything relating to basketball, even youth sports with basketball, we get it after every other city. Even if we have this city, we now have a state-of-the-art basketball facility for youth, but we had to fight for it. We're just now getting it because, you know, the biggest industries we actually have, well, I think maybe seven Fortune 500, 700 companies here. So, but they back every sport, true, but youth basketball, right? So
it's a missed opportunity, I would think, given how much basketball's grown.
Right. So I look at it from every tier. So on youth level, it's late being supported, right? So then I go to high school level, not bad. That's when it's pretty good on high school level. For some reason, high school is supported heavily, right? Everybody knows the latest, the greatest players in high school. Then college level, which you got to only D1, pretty much D1, top D1 team here in St. Louis is St. Louis University. You know, outside in the state now you have, you know, the best one is Mizzou, right? But so I have to go off of what's the fan base at the St. Louis University game. Because that's pretty much now our most professional, the biggest professional basketball team. And I just feel like the St. Louis U games aren't supported outside of the student body that much. Mm-hmm. So if that's not the case, then, you know, it's
hard.
You definitely won't support an NBA team.
Right. Yeah, now we've got to scale up to 20,000 people every night.
Right.
That's a tough ask. With the season coming, DMV Scott wants to know, with the season coming to an end, what are just a couple positives that you've taken away from some of the young guys on the team?
I like that when the season started, when we wanted to fight for that play-in tournament position, I saw some positives from certain guys, right?
Sure.
That really say, okay, all right, we still have something to work with. Mm-hmm. To me, Denny showed some boot, you know, he was kind of up and down, you know, it seemed like he had an emotional season, mm-hmm. but when it came time to kind of fight for certain things, he was there for the fight. He got in the foxhole.
I don't think that he backs away from a fight. I'll give the guy a lot of credit for that.
He got in the foxhole, right? Yeah. And he start putting up some points and really say, hey, man, it's time to fight. It's time to go to war. It's time to beat teammates. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised by that. Surprised how he kind of bounced back. I can't say he slept on, but the best kept secret to me is Kispert.
Yeah, he's been great lately.
Best kept secret is Kispert.
He's cooking people now.
Right, and we can't keep having him as a role player.
Yeah.
You know,
he puts the ball on the floor a lot better. And I watched a ton of his Gonzaga games. He's grown in that department already. He's a better, more athletic guy. And he's still able to, like, put it down a little bit. I give him credit.
Right. Now, and then I see some good – we got a good hustler, just that dog and the guy who's going to, you know, it's a difference between a guy who's relentless in the last few games just to kind of, because he wants to make it, mm-hmm. and a guy just naturally that way. Yep. So to me, Jordan Goodwin, you have a natural dog, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to do your dirty work, you know, mm-hmm. physical. He wants to defend. He wants to play hard. Mm-hmm. In these last few games, he's shown certain things. I mean, for a guy his size to play his position to get 7 boards in
he's
the game.
He's a great rebounder. Yeah.
Come on. I mean, yeah, exactly. So he's shown some light, you know, he's shown some positive upsides too. Those three guys, I feel like we can really still work with them and get something that we can build. We can build. They can be part of the system of building around.
I have no expectation of any of the three of them ever being like star guys at this point. But hey, if they're a solid 5th, 6th, 7th man on a good team, mm-hmm. I'm all good with that. And I think they've shown at least enough that there's hope they can be those kind of guys.
I feel like Kispert can be more of a major contributor.
I like that.
Than he is now.
Different.
If you put him on a team where he had to be the third guy, he could handle that.
I need my guy to defend a little bit more. Like, just put up a little more resistance. That's all I'm looking for.
I do agree with that.
And I think he will. Like he did well.
He does have to be a two-way player.
Yeah, just enough, you know, to not be the guy that they're hunting. That's all I'm looking for him. That would be great. I have no notes, as they say. I think I'm totally with you on those three guys. The only one I want to just throw in, and I hadn't really thought about it, and then we'll close up here, is Isaiah Todd. So I don't know how much you've seen of Todd because he's been mostly in the G League. This was a guy that was at one point, the number one high school recruit in the country. He ended up 10th in his class, skipped Michigan to go to the G League Ignite, played okay, kind of up and down for the Ignite. But again, that was a tough, weird situation. The Wizards essentially traded back to still get him from 22 to 31, I want to say. And he was supposedly their guy at 22. And he looked really good as a rookie in the G League in spurts. Like, there were flashes. Okay, this is the raw guy, but he's 6'9". He can dribble. He'll dunk on anybody. He'll windmill from the free throw line. He hits some threes. And now this year, it seems like he's regressed essentially. And they weren't even playing him in these G League games down the stretch. Like, in the playoffs, he barely played. And now they're like losing these games and openly tanking essentially to close the stretch for the Wizards. And he's not out there. Like, I don't know what that signals. He's got a 4-year deal, so he's got 2 more years left. Like, it seems like they've given up on him essentially. And I don't understand why that would be. Even if you had kind of written him off, why not play him right now? Like, what are we learning from playing Taj Gibson 25 minutes at this point? Like, play Todd and just see if he can do anything.
Yeah, I guess you have to really say, why aren't they playing?
There's got to be something else there, right?
Like, right, exactly. It's you never know really, unless you're mm-hmm. really in there.
Yeah.
Why aren't they playing? Sometimes people don't. You see a great talent, and you don't play him because just decided that he may not learn. He can't learn the plays, or he's maybe too immature to, you know, his personality doesn't fit the team well. So many factors. I mean, we see a lot of great players who just kind of tank in the NBA, and it has nothing to do with their game. Mm-hmm. Right. And not saying that's what his case is, but it leaves you to think, okay.
Yeah.
He stopped playing. He was going up, and then all of a sudden in the D League, you know, mm-hmm. he started kind of dwindling. Why? Right? And so we all know his talent.
Yeah.
But so what is getting in the way of his talent? And some people know that answer.
Again, this is pure speculation. I have not heard this, but he did get suspended one game last year for an outburst, supposedly. I assume it was playing time or role related. He's learned from it and moved on and all this stuff. It's probably tough being the number one guy in the, you know, as a junior in the country. And then, you know, you're coming off the bench in the G League or something. Like, there's probably some amount of ego there. But Brian Shaw, like when he was with the G League Ignite, Brian Shaw raved about him as a dude and a work ethic. And he did not rave about all those young guys on that team. Like, he went out of his way to be like, Todd is going to get it. Like, he's a worker. And so I don't know. It just, something doesn't add up here. And I don't know what it is.
I mean, these days, man, there's so many things that go on with players behind the game of basketball. You know, who knows? And I don't want to give him a jacket that doesn't belong to him.
Sure.
But it's a lot of factors these days. You know, you deal with a lot of things, mental health, mm-hmm. you know, it's so many, you know, like you say, outbursts because you feel like you deserve it. Like, sometimes entitlement can yeah. mess you up with yeah. this in this league before anybody, because no one owes you shit. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's 100%.
And if you feel that way, you'll be out the league fast. Everything you get in the first 4 years of this league, you better earn it all. And you're proving every day. It's a prove fest, prove a thon.
Yeah.
You know? And if it's not a platter that just handed to you.
I've always said, when people say, why aren't the young guys playing more? Well, maybe they're not doing something to earn it. So that could be the case with Todd. We don't know. But it is weird to me just how little they've gone out of their way to mention him and include him in things and not even let him sniff the court. Like, something just smells fishy there. And so I'm saying, and he never comes up in post games. They dodged the question. So it makes me worried. But not a guaranteed deal long term. So if you're over him and out on him,
but they may not be.
But that,
just because you're not playing them, you know, it's maybe a work in progress. You know,
yeah, that's the hope. I mean, you know, it'd be a bad look to punt on a guy like that this early, I think. But I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I appreciate the insight there, because that's one that's been bothering me, and now I think it's starting to bother other people more too. That we're like in tank mode. Like, okay, these other G League guys are playing.
Right.
Like, we can't find Todd. He's in, like, witness protection. So it's not great. Johnny, that's all I got for you. Again, folks, check Jahani out in person on Friday, April 7th, before the Wizards game, starting at 5:30. I can post more details if people are interested, or hit me up if you want a link to that. Anything else you want to throw out to folks before we close up?
No, man, I appreciate it. Appreciate everyone.
All right. Again, when you see him in person, everybody, tell him you love the show. Give him some real world feedback here. I think that'll make all the other former players in the room there jealous. And, you know, well, maybe we can solicit those guys to come back on the show. I know Larry will come on anytime we ask him. So Tracy Murray will be the other one. We'll grab him, too.
I'll get Tracy. I'll make Tracy get on.
There you go. Love it. All right, everybody. You know the deal. Believe in Wizards. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. We're presented by betonline.ag, and we will catch you next time.
Is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.